Ball just inside, left foot. The grip right. Head over the, don't move the head. Head over the ball. Arm straight. Swing. Better not do this really. More about the golf swing later. Well, good morning, folks, here in the auditorium, and hi if you're up in the gallery, and g'day if you're listening online. What a great morning to be together to celebrate the resurrection, the Jesus not dead that lies at the heart of... ...made a very strange statement that I don't think anybody who heard it really understood. He said, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you are about to come alive. What on earth did that mean? I mean, they've got to be thinking, we're already alive. What does he mean when he says, you are about to come alive? Well, like the video clip at the beginning of worship said, Easter is about not dead Jesus. Almost everybody knows that part of the Easter story, not dead Jesus. What many people don't know is the second part of the story, the part that involves you and me, and here it is. He, talking about Jesus, included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a far better life than people lived on their own. So what's this better life? We know a lot about the good life. In fact, you might be living the good life. You've got a good home. You've got a good family. You've got a good job. You're in good health. You'd say, I've got it good. And you're right. Compared to much of the rest of the world, you've got it good. You are living the good life. If you're like many people in Sydney, you may be feeling pretty satisfied with your life. You are living the good life. But what if there was something more? What if beyond the good life there was the better life? What if you were missing out on something that you didn't even know about? What if God had intended more than just the good life for me? What if he intended the better life? Wouldn't you want to know about it? Of course you would, and so would I. But you know, we sometimes settle for less because we don't know that there's anything better. When I was a baby, my parents fed me food from a little bottle. I think it was strained spinach. It was yummy because I didn't know any better. Of course, today I think it tastes like turtle spit. In fact, I think that strained spinach is a form of child abuse. I think parents should be tortured for giving that to their kids. It should be banned. I am just kidding. Well, not about the turtle spit taste. But at that point, I didn't know any better than strained spinach. When I came to primary school, I learned about Vegemite sandwiches. That was a definite step up from strained spinach. When I became a teenager, I learned about hamburgers and chips. Now we're talking. There was definitely something better in life. Of course, now I've tasted lots of great food, but I'd never go back to strained spinach. No way. I've tasted something better. Seafood, not turtle maybe. I believe that God wants you here on this Easter Sunday at Church in the Marketplace so he can let you in on a little secret. There's something better. There's way, way more than just the good life. That's okay, but there's far more than that. I believe that God wants you to know that you were made for more than just the good life, for looking good, which you do, and feeling good, and having a good time. That's okay, but that's not all there is to life. There's way more than that. So as we are prepared to think about that a little more deeply, let's pray. Our Lord God, we want to say thank you this morning for the life that you have given us. And for all that we find good in that, we want to say thank you. But your word challenges us this morning that there is something more than just the good life for us to aspire to. There is the better life that you want for us. And so we pray that as we come before your word, you would help us to understand what that better life is and give us some paths into living that on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's the better life. We see it played out again and again on our TV screens, but beneath the image of the better life, beneath this image of the good life, sorry, that we all aspire to, there's a couple of little secrets that nobody likes to talk about. And when I say these things, I'm talking about me as much as I'm talking about you. One is that people feel exhausted. We feel worn out. People say, I am tired all the time. I can't keep up the pace. I am overloaded. When I get home in the evening, I just crash. I'm out of energy. I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted. And exhaustion always leads to a second thing, emptiness. We say, I don't think I've got another thing in me. I couldn't sign up for another thing. I couldn't take on another assignment or project or commitment. I am stretched to my limit and it leaves me empty inside. If we get a quiet moment, we're thinking, if this good life is so good, how come we're still unsatisfied? Why don't I feel more meaning in my life? And by the way, what is the meaning of all this? Getting more? Having more? Accomplishing more? What's the meaning behind it? If it's so good, why don't we feel more satisfied? And then emptiness leads to what we could call enslavement. We feel trapped, we say. I feel trapped by my work. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of it. And darn it, now the retirement age is headed towards 70. I feel trapped. I feel trapped in a relationship with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or in a marriage. I can't get on with it and I can't get out of it. I feel trapped by the expectations of people around me. I feel trapped by guilt. I feel trapped by fear. I feel trapped by my own anger. I feel trapped by bitterness towards somebody who's hurt me. I'm even a slave to my schedule. Folks, do you ever feel any of those things? Emptiness, exhaustion, feeling trapped? I know there are times I do. Well, the news for us this Easter Sunday is God saying, I don't want for you just the good life. I want for you the better life. And you can come alive to that life now and today. So what is the better life that Jesus offers us? It's three things. Firstly, it's a life with meaning. The great tragedy in life isn't death. It's to go through our entire life without knowing our purpose, without meaning, without knowing what on earth I'm here for. Sadly, many, many people go through life never knowing their purpose, never knowing why they're here on earth. Friends, I believe that the good life isn't good enough. Looking good and feeling good and having the good life, whatever that is, that's not enough to make us happy. If that were true, Hollywood would be the most happy place in the world. But it's not. It takes meaning to have a life of significance and a life of purpose. A lot of people confuse a full life with a meaningful life, and they're not the same. Having a full schedule is not the same thing as having a fulfilled life. We need meaning. So we search for meaning in all kinds of different ways. We think, if I just get more possessions, then that will add to meaning in my life. But there's always more to get. Or if I accomplish certain things, then my life will have meaning. But there's always more to accomplish. So we search for meaning through all kinds of things, through hobbies and through sports and travel and through relationships and through sex and through food. And they're all good things. There's nothing wrong with any one of them. It's just that they don't last. And when the experience is over, where do we get our meaning in those other times? We need something that gives us constant meaning, eternal meaning. And where do we get that? There's only one place, from the God who created us. The Bible says, Christ gives meaning to your life. You see, human people, you and me, are made by God. We didn't make ourselves. God made human. God made people. If it wasn't God's purposes for people, then you and I wouldn't even exist. God made us for his purpose. And until we understand that we were made by God and for God, life's not going to make sense. And until we understand the purpose God put us here for, we can't step from the good life to the better life. The Bible says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and that future starts now. Can you see that? Can you see that this better life, whatever it is somehow connected to what Jesus did at Easter? Somehow his coming back to life enables me to live a better life, better than just the good life. The second thing to notice is that the better life is not just an addition to our old life, something that we just tack on. It's a whole new deal. It's brand new. God wants to give us a brand new life. Ever noticed how you go to Woolies or Coles or IGA, how many packages say new and improved? What that means is same old stuff with a new title, I think. There's very little that's new in this world. There's so much that's just repackaged, repositioned, relabeled, retitled. There's very little that's actually new in the world. But God says, I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a chance to start over. I want to give you a chance to begin again. That's the starting point of a better life. God will just give you a brand new life. It's incredible. Now, you were wondering where a golf driver comes into a message here at Church in the Marketplace on a Sunday morning. Truth is, I'm just a novice golfer. I get to play a couple of times a year if I'm lucky. I don't have much time to play golf, but I've learned a rather special golfing term. It's called a mulligan. Anyone know what a mulligan is? That's it. I love the mulligan. You see, if you don't know anything about golf, it means when you take your first shot on any hole, your tee shot, and it's such a stinking shot, really. It goes way left towards the next fairway, and it hits a tree, and it bounces back, and it hits your partner's head, and they give you a second shot. And this shot is free. And they don't count the first one against you. It's called a mulligan. I love mulligans. If I get one on every hole, it's great. It's incredible. Now, here's the point. Jesus wants to give you a mulligan for your life. He says, you know, all those stupid things you've done in the past and you regret and you wish you had done differently? Dumb decisions, bad mistakes, sins, faults, failures, whatever you want to call them. Let's just erase those. Start over. I'll just say, let's begin a brand new life. Step up from the good life to a better life. We'll wipe out all that other stuff and you can begin again. What a deal that is. A mulligan deal. No more guilt, no more guilty conscience, wiped out, begin again, start over. You say, that sounds pretty good, how do we get it? Well, there's some things we can say. We don't earn it. We can't work for the better life. In fact, it says in that verse, we've been given a brand new life. It's a gift. We don't earn it. Second thing we can say this morning about a brand new life is it's a life that is freed by grace. The Bible says, we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God. It all comes by grace. We're free to live a new life, a free in God life, but it comes by grace. What's grace? Grace is when God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. That's grace. Everything we have in our life is because of God's grace. The next breath we take, that's a gift of grace. Grace is God saying, I love you, I forgive you. Grace is saying, I'm not mad at you. I don't hold any grudge because Jesus has taken your sin on the cross. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second chance and a third and a fifth and a 25th and a 125th. Grace is the road to freedom. See, we Aussies, we love our freedom. What has Jesus set us free from? Lots of stuff. Free from our guilt. All the things we feel guilty about, he wipes them out. He gives you that mulligan. He sets us free from the fear of death. Why? Because when we know God personally, we enter into a forever relationship, an eternal relationship with him. Whatever time means for God, now it means that for me too. Life is more than I know it now. He sets us free from the hurts that other people cause us, the bitterness we can't let go of, we keep holding on to, that anger, he'll help us let go of it. He sets us free from the expectations of other people. He sets us free to be ourselves. He sets us free to grow and develop and become all God meant for us to be. He sets us free from worry and from anxiety and fear and boredom and meaningless and no purpose. Jesus sets us free from trying to earn God's approval. Does God like me? You may be unsure about that if you don't understand grace. Some of us were raised in a religious home. Some of us were raised in a very strict religion. Every religion in the world can be summarized in one of two words, do or done. All the religions of the world basically say this, here's what you must do to get God to like you. And they have their own different lists. One of them will say these things and another will say those things you've got to do and some will say a little bit of this and a little bit of that. If you do all these things, then God will smile and say, you're cool. When Jesus came, he said, that's all wrong. That's not it. I'm not into religion. I want you to have a relationship with me. And by the way, I've already done it all for you. You don't have to do. You just have to accept what I've already done on the cross. That's called grace. Folks, there are two paths we can choose in life. One is to spend the rest of our life trying to earn God's approval by our effort and doing certain things. And the other is to enjoy God's approval by accepting what Jesus has already done for us. We just accept the gift. The first way doesn't work anyway. It never has worked, never will work. In fact, God says it doesn't work. The Bible says that we can't earn God's approval by the things we do. The old system was cancelled because it didn't work. It was weak and useless for saving people. It never made anyone really right with God. But now we have a far better hope, for Christ makes us acceptable to God. God said, just cancel the old system. We know when a TV program doesn't work by what they do with it. They can it. They cancel it. We know when a product doesn't work, what do? They pull it off the shelf, they cancel it. God cancelled the idea of us trying to earn our way into forever relationship with him into heaven because it doesn't work. God cancelled that plan a long time ago. He said there's only one way, there's only one way to a better life. That way is to accept my grace, my gift, my love, and what Jesus has done for us. The better life is a gift, and it's a free gift. It's certainly not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. Somebody had to pay for it. It was a very expensive gift. Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid for our salvation. He paid so you and I could live a better life. He paid for our freedom. The Bible says he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. That purchase freedom is an amazing thing. That's exactly what Jesus wants to do for us. That's what his death on the cross does for us. It buys our freedom. So we're no longer a slave, if you like, to guilt, to fear, to worry, to bitterness, to the pressures of the past and the expectations of the future and all those things. There's a word for it that we don't hear much about anymore, and that's the word redemption. To be redeemed means to have our freedom paid for. The reason we don't use this word is because it's a word that came out of the slave trading years. And in the slave trading years, people would intentionally buy some slaves in order to set them free. And those people were called the redeemers. They would redeem a slave. Jesus came to redeem us, to set us free from all the things that keep us hung up and all the things that trap us, the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups and all the things that mess up our life. He says, I want to set you free from it and I want to give you a new life of real freedom. So if I, Peter Godwin, accepts this better life, if you step up from the good life to the better life, what do we do with the old life? The exhausted, the empty, the enslaved life. Look at what the Bible says to do. Pardon me. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Bury it. Dump it. We don't try to hold on to the old life that had all the worry in it and all the bitterness and all the guilt and all the lack of purpose. Why would we want to hold on to that? If someone gives you a new coat, an expensive coat, and you've got an old holy coat, moth-eaten, 20 years old, we don't put the expensive one on over the old one. We just throw the old coat away and put on the new coat. Jesus says the old life, the one that had no meaning or purpose in it and you were frustrated with all the time, just bury it. Let it go. Let it die. I'm giving you a brand new life. Jesus gave a symbol for it. He called it baptism. The way they used to do it in Bible times, they'd go down to a river and they'd dunk a person completely underwater and then bring them back up. Why would they do that? What's the meaning of that? Well, it's kind of like a picture. It's saying, I'm burying the old life, I'm drowning it. The life without meaning and purpose, the life that was stuck, the life that was guilty, the life that was worried. Now I'm living a brand new life. I've been redeemed. Jesus has paid for my freedom. And I'm living a brand new life that's free. This morning, James and Diane Mark reaffirmed their baptisms. They were saying, the good life isn't good enough. I'm stepping up. I'm stepping up to the better life. The life God intended for me. No more wasting my life. I'm not wasting it anymore. I'm going to be living for God, not for myself. So this better life is filled with meaning. It's freed by grace. And the last one, it's also full of energy. Do you ever get tired? Just thinking about all the stuff you have to do. I do. Have you noticed that when you're low on energy, little problems become big problems? Have you noticed that when you don't have a whole lot of patience because your energy level is low, the littlest tiny things just tick you off? Do you ever get the feeling that there's a beeper going off in your life and you know something's wrong but you don't know what it is? Well, maybe what it is, we're running on our own energy and our battery is about to go out. And friends, we were never meant to live on just our own power. It's no wonder we're often tired. God meant for us to be plugged into his power, not go through life just living on our own energy. Scripture says, those who feel tired and worn out will find new life and energy. And it says this, you will not succeed of your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, God wants us somehow to plug into his power. And here's the good news. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead when he came back to life to prove he was God, that same power is available to you and to me. Friends, God wants us to be equipped for life and to have the energy we need for life. We've got a choice. We can go through the rest of our life living the good life and disconnected from God's power, or we can live the better life and be plugged into God's power. That's our choice. Whichever one we choose, we're still going to have problems. Let me be honest about that. Because life is a series of problems. The nature of our life, in fact, is to bring order out of chaos. It's the very first creative thing that we see God do. And if we're created in God's likeness, we'll do it too. The difference with God, the difference is with God in our life, with Christ in our life, we have the energy that we didn't have in our own strength. He gives it to us on a day-by-day basis. The Bible says, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Isn't that incredible? Let me tell you again. Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Friends, you may have come to today's Easter service a little tired, a little worn out. You may be on the edge. You may have felt like giving up. Maybe you're in a relationship and you feel like giving up on it with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe you're in a marriage and you've tried hard to make the marriage work, but it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. You feel like giving up. Maybe you feel like giving up on your job. Maybe you feel like giving up on your school. Maybe you feel like giving up on your health because it's just not getting any better. Or you feel like giving up on that kid who's headed in the wrong direction. Or maybe you feel like giving up on your goals and dreams and ambitions. Don't do it. Don't give up. Look up. Look up to God. Don't give up. Give in. Give in to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm going to start living for you and not for me. And his commitment to you is, I will give you the strength to do the things that he put you here on earth to do. And he'll give it to you on a daily basis. Not a day goes by, it says, without his unfolding grace. Has God been trying to get your attention or mine? I think so. I think that's probably why you're here at CMP on Easter Sunday in 2014. So he could say to you and to me, the good life isn't good enough. I want you to step up to the better life, the life you were intended to live from the very beginning. You say, sounds good, how do I get it? How do I get this life of meaning and energy and purpose and freedom? Remember, it's a gift. The Bible says, everybody comes alive in Christ. It's in a relationship with Jesus that we get to the better life. We get it through our forever relationship with God. John says, I came so you can have real and eternal life, a better life than you ever dreamed of. Friends, that's what Easter is about. That's why Jesus came and died and was raised again. And instead of us feeling empty and enslaved and exhausted, he says, I want you to have meaning and freedom and energy. It's all about you and me personally getting to know God, personally living our life in God through Jesus. Let's close today with a prayer that you can pray and I can pray about beginning a better life. First, I'm going to pray for you. Father, there are people here today who've never begun a relationship with you, probably. They know about you. They believe in you. They just haven't ever really known you. And I pray that you would give them the courage to open their heart and their mind and their life to you right now. And as I pray, you can be praying in your heart and your mind, just in the quiet of that space, something like this. Dear God, I want to start living the better life. I realize that you made me for more than just the good life. So as much as I know how, I want to start living for you, not myself. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus dying for my sins. I don't understand that. So you're going to have to help me out with it. But I want to open up my life to you, Jesus. As best as I know how, I want to get to know you. I invite you to be the manager of my life, the CEO, the boss. You call the shots from this day forward. I want to learn to trust you. And I want to exchange the good life for the better life. Thank you. Amen.